Yeah, it's great to be back after a day, night off last night. It's great to be back with you today. Today is Wednesday, June 25th, 2025. I've got a very special guest with me, Sam Andrews. He's, in addition to everything he does, he's a military analyst. He's got a lot of experience, a lot of sources, a lot of contacts. We're going to be talking about what's currently taking place, what took place last weekend, but what the actual threat was, is, and what's really going on with respect to Iran and Israel. And again, I want to thank you for your patience. You're listening and watching to the Hagmann Report. Folks, please do me a favor. Subscribe to us on Rumble. If you're listening to this on whatever podcast platform you might have or audio platform you have, just hop on over and hit the subscribe button. Well, actually, I do believe it's the follow button. And I think you might have to have an account to chat, for example, if that's what you'd like to do. But I want to welcome those people in chat as well. And I appreciate you. Just two announcements before I bring on Sam Andrews. And the first announcement is next week, obviously, is going to be dark for the show. I'm going to be out having surgery next week. I expect to be fully expect to be back the following Monday. So next week is going to be dark, in case you didn't know. And that's, I think that's one of two surgeries that I'm going to have to go through, but they've got to do one before the other. So anyway, yeah, enough of that. But so next week I'll be down, which brings me to point number two. Usually we have the meeting of supporters on the first Sunday night of the month. I was talking to Eric, and I said, let's do it this coming Sunday, because I owe it to you guys. I think that would be great for us to get together this coming Sunday, especially with the fourth, the weekend of the fourth. You might break that up, right? So join me 7 p.m. Eastern time this Sunday, and we'll have our meeting of our supporters. Really appreciate that too, and appreciate all of you as well, who support this program and spread the word about this program. So again, this Sunday we'll have our meeting of supporters, and that'll give me an extra day, kind of just that show out. And Leon, I want to thank you very much for all of the videos you sent to me. I did watch one of the two that I got today, and I'm kind of building up some videos, so when I'm down, I'll be able to be entertained by the things I might have missed elsewise. So thank you, Leon. And Adam from Down Under, thank you very much for your very kind email. Really appreciate that. I'll be touching base with you in that same fashion. But again, a lot has happened. And I should add this too. The way it looks, you're gonna have a communist in Trump's words, a communist lunatic for mayor of New York City. I guess we shouldn't be surprised, but it's pretty sad, if not scary, that the people would actually vote for a communist period. I'll just, I don't have to add further descriptors there.
Flibbity-jibbity nonsense.
Yeah. I've got a lot to say about that. Rahim Kassam, I talked about that as well. So anyway, and in fact, wrote an article about that as well. All right. So I took enough of Sam's time. So I want to bring Sam on. Sam Andrews, thank you so much for joining me tonight. Let's get into, oh, before I do that, folks, you saw this, right? It's a minute. And let's start off Sam's appearance as well as our discussion tonight with this clip. Alex Jones played this clip, and many other outlets played this clip. But I think this gives us kind of a good starting point as to, well, for a lot of reasons. Of course, there's a ceasefire, right, that President Trump arranged between Israel and Iran. And wouldn't you know it? Supposedly, Iran right away sent up a rocket. But Israel, yeah, Israel responded and it kind of went over the top, or was about to go over the top. And this was President Trump's reaction. This is cut two in the show notes.
Yeah, I do. They violated it, but Israel violated it too.
Are you questioning
Israel? As soon as we made the deal, they came out and they dropped a load of bombs, the likes of which I'd never seen before. The biggest load that we've seen. I'm not happy with Israel. You know, when I say, okay, now you have 12 hours, you don't go out in the first hour and just drop everything you have on them. So I'm not happy with them. I'm not happy with Iran either. But I'm really unhappy if Israel's going out this morning because the one rocket that didn't land, that was shot, perhaps by mistake, that didn't land. I'm not happy about that. You know what? We basically have two countries that have been fighting so long and so hard that they don't know what the fuck they're doing. Do you understand that?
I don't know about you, but I understood that. And I should add this, and then we'll bring Sam on. Iran or Persia has a very rich history in the Bible, both in Genesis, well, from Genesis through Revelation, the book of Revelation. So very interesting. And the Persians helped Israel rebuild the first temple. I just found that amazing. Sam Andrews, how are you, sir?
Doug, I'm doing fine. Good to be with you.
Good to have you. Make some, if you don't mind, make some sense out of what's going on here. It's starting out with kind of, let's remind people of kind of how this got started. Of late, obviously, this began, what, in 1979 in terms of more recent history. Mm-hmm. And I do have video, of course, from November of 79, the regime change. But, well, I'll tell you what, take it from wherever you want, you think is a rational, reasonable place to start. Because how did we get here? And what's the real truth about everything? Because I'm tired of getting lied to, and I'm tired of this being a political football. So help me out.
Let's try and take the politics out of it. I'll make it personal.
Okay.
Growing up playing baseball, I was fortunate enough to have some professional ball players for coaches. I had a catcher, a Persian gentleman, Ed Elizadeh. He had a brother named Cy, who was a good tennis player, became a orthodontist, prosthodontist here in the St. Louis, Missouri area. Great Persian family, great family from Iran. Now, they were here in the 60s. Why? And because they saw the direction that Iran was going. And I have a dear friend who lives in California now who grew up with the Shah and his son. They were like, his dad was a big oil magnate in Iran. And they grew up, they played together, they vacationed together, their families. I mean, they were close friends. Now, obviously, the Shah had some corruption issues in his regime. Obviously, the Carter administration, CIA, did everything they could to depose the guy. But my friend's dad moved here in 1977. And what his father and what he saw were these radical Islamicists taking over people's mansions, wealthy people's homes, taking their oil fields, stealing their property, putting guns to their head and saying, what are you going to do about it? Okay, so this had been going on since before 79, I can tell you, because I have
indeed, yes.
Two yeah. personal examples of dear friends that had to deal with the corruption of this Islamic regime and even the Shah's organization. So Shah has suffered, Iran has suffered from not having legitimate government for a very, very, very long time. Now,
well, the CIA deposed the leadership, put the Shah in 53, I think yes. it was, right?
Yes.
And of course, then assisted in deposing him in 79, yes, which brought forth Khomeini, and of course resulted in the an even worse situation over in Iran. So yeah,
I absolutely worse. Okay, yeah. So let's start from that background.
Okay.
Now, if you were to talk to my friend today, and I spoke to him yesterday on the phone, this is a man who grew up in Iran, whose father is an Iranian businessman. He said that the modern mullahs, the people that are in power today, will take a young girl who's not properly dressed according to their standards, get out of their car and shoot them in the middle of the street. That if they consider it a minor infraction of a powerful person, they might just grab her, rip her eyeballs out, and throw her back out into the street. This is a brutal regime. He said they're not religious radicals. They use religion as a curtain to hide behind their criminal, murderous behavior. So there is one guy who's as honest as the day is long, that grew up in Iran, who knew the Shah, who knew the Shah's son, still talks to the Shah's son, who gave me this account of the current regime. And he told me that Iran was the most beautiful country before this regime took over. They were Western. There were women that wore modern clothes and blue jeans and cowgirl hats. And they loved the West. They loved the world. And the hate that was brought in by this regime and the sociopathic murderous behavior is beyond what any news agency has ever tried to explain to the American people. So there's your backdrop.
Well, how about this, though? President Trump ran on America First, MAGA, but America First.
No new wars. America First.
No new wars, right. Okay. Now, contrast what happened this past weekend with Obama's presidency. A lot of people don't remember that under his regime, Obama's regime, he dropped 26,171
bombs. Libya, Syria, yeah, I mean, you name it.
Somalia, Obama, Yemen, Pakistan.
Somalia, Yemen. Obama dropped so many bombs unilaterally without congressional approval or prior notice.
Right.
And nobody cared, right? Everybody applauded. Why? Because they felt like this was in defense of the United States of America or America's interests overseas. So nobody objected. But let's get into the War Powers Act and the Constitution later in the program.
Okay.
Let's talk about why America and why the Republicans and why the MAGA people are so conflicted over this whole deal about Trump sending a handful of B-2s in there and launching a few Tomahawks.
Yeah, I think 14 mobs. And you, by the way, the last time you were on, you nailed pretty much what was going to happen.
I did.
You hit it out of the park, and exactly what you said was going to happen happened.
Yep.
And so the B-2s dropped, I think, a total of 14. Those big bad bombs. Anyway,
yes. I want to give a shout out to all my Missouri engineer friends at Boeing. My buddies designed the mop.
Really?
Yeah, really. This is a Boeing St. Louis deal. Now, did we get some interface engineering for the B-2 out of California? Okay, Northrop, yes, we did. But as far as this weapon, there is nothing else like this weapon on planet Earth. There is nothing that can go to 10% of the depth of this weapon and do what it does. And it's the Missouri boys flew to planes, dropped it. Missouri boys designed that mop penetrator. They tested it. They perfected it. And it worked to absolute perfection. And there's different elements to this design. As an engineer, as a physicist, I appreciate this so much. So let's talk about the accuracy of this thing.
All right.
They dropped this thing into 3-foot ventilation shafts.
You mean three foot diameter. Oh, wow.
From 52,000 feet. You know, we're talking the better part of 12 miles up. Now,
yeah.
I've shot stuff with sniper rifles at 3,500 meters. Okay. I know all about precision shooting. Now, my bullets aren't guided systems. The GBU-57 is. And let me tell you how precise this thing is. So the challenges to the engineering of this weapon, absolutely amazing. The accuracy of this weapon, the guidance system that's on this weapon. So, you know, normally when we drop GPS-guided bombs, we have this accurate bomb that relies on satellite information to locate itself and its vector, and they can hit plus or minus a couple of meters. But this MOP, the FIN system, the guidance system and everything, it can function just as accurate in a GPS-denied environment as it can using the GPS. These wow. guys at Boeing are geniuses. Absolutely amazing men, and they're not getting any of the credit. Boeing's not getting any of the credit. They deserve it. But yeah. anyway, let's go back to Iran and let's talk about why the confliction amongst the American.
Well, before you do that, I just want to say this. I'm aware of the conflict. I'm aware of the different camps. I'm aware of how this is really ripping apart a lot of people who are mm-hmm. extremely dogmatic. Now, I guess my ultimate question. Does this make America any safer? And you can answer that later. Because if I had my way, I'd probably send one of those things down the chimney of a James Comey or a John Brennan, and America would be a lot greater. Okay? Now, yeah, I said that. All right? If I had my way, which I don't, which is why. But anyway.
I'd prefer the handcuffs and the cheap Chinese rope. At the Hague,
same. Yeah, yeah,
on pay-per-view, yeah. paying our tax bill down, right?
Yeah.
But, that's so, where so, I'm at.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I'm looking at this from an America First perspective. And again, you can take this in any order you want. I just wanted to throw that out there. So
let me throw out a hypothetical for you.
All right.
Let's say that there are active sleeper cells in America that are Iranian that want to hurt Americans. Let's just say, for example, that Biden leaving the border open let thousands of these people come in.
Right.
Not to mention all the Chinese spies they let in. But we'll talk about that some other show.
And by the way, I can verify that there are sleeper cells here based on yes. my conversations with certain people in yes. the intel industry. Go ahead.
It's true. Continue. Yeah. It's true. And let's say yeah. that the Biden administration is still in power, or the Democrats are still in power, still control the White House. Okay. Now, do you as an American feel safer if your FBI is attacking parents at school board meetings and attacking Catholics singing hymns at abortion clinics? Or if the FBI was tracking down these Iranian terror cells and ridding them from our country? I mean, the answer is so obvious.
Right.
And so what I'm saying is we have limited resources. Even the federal government has very limited resources. And if we don't prioritize the truth and the actual threats, we're chasing down mom at an abortion clinic instead of an Iranian terrorist with a dirty bomb.
That's right.
The implications of that are catastrophic to this country. So thank God Trump is in office and we have Kash Patel running the FBI, because it's in his ball. Not, it's the ball's in his court now, as far as and everybody's talking about the 1500 Iranians that Biden let in and the 700 that were released. Those aren't the problems.
No, no. Very true.
Go it's on. The gotaways. That paid human traffickers and drug cartels to sneak them in here. It's the Iranian gotaways that make up the sleeper cells. We don't even know their name. We don't have their pictures. Okay, those are the people we need to be worried about. And we 100%. Need to track down yeah. and find. And,
absolutely.
And there are ways to do that. That's not an impossible task in the current environment. So the problem is that all of these people are so political and so ideological that they've lost any semblance of common sense. And just like when you use lethal force to defend yourself with your concealed carry pistol, you have to have the ability to do a legitimate, factual threat assessment before you pull the trigger.
Yes.
That is, and it's necessary with sociopaths trying to rob you outside the ATM, and it's even more necessary when you're talking about large state actors that have an active nuclear weapons program. And I'd like to get into the details of how professionals actually do that threat assessment.
Man, you go wherever you want, because what you're talking about to me is information no one else really, I mean, very few outlets are talking about the nuts bolts of the threat against us as Americans, whether it's domestic originating domestically from the gotaways in the sleeper cells to whatever. So please, you've got carte blanche to continue, because this is fascinating.
Go ahead. I want people to understand, I worked as a strategic planner for the Department of Defense. I have been the facilitator for meetings of 2 and 3 star generals from Canada, Australia, Great Britain, the United States, and a number of other allies. So I'm not speaking without experience when I talk about how do professionals analyze, because there's no middle ground. When someone attacks you, it's either a legitimate attack that could cause great bodily harm and you can justify the use of force, or it's not. And you better not use lethal force or you're going to jail. Okay? In the same sense with Iran and with Iraq and with Afghanistan, we should have done professional threat assessments to determine if the threat was legitimate, real, and imminent. Now, how do we do that? It starts with three fundamental concepts. Means, M-E-A-N-S, opportunity, and intent. And so what has to exist for a threat to be real is the state must be, according to Trump's claims, to justify what he did. Iran would have to have, at the same moment in time, or be very near, imminently have means, opportunity, and intent to harm the United States of America. That is the core outline, the core skeleton of how we analyze whether the threat is real or not. And I want to break those down. I want to talk about each one of those three elements, okay? Because the means to seriously hurt the United States, do serious harm to the United States, happens when you enrich uranium past 60%.
Correct.
So one fact we must ultimately know, and I think we already know through the Israeli intelligence group, is they had uranium rich to over 90%, which is weapons grade. That's why they moved on day 61 and not day 62. Okay. So the means to create a nuclear weapon was there. Okay. Now, let's talk about intent. If Eric would scroll the presentation that he made, I sent him a list of the times that Iran has attacked Americans since 1979. If he could just scroll that so people could see it and read it for themselves. This is a partial list of the attacks on American citizens. The truth is, Iran has used every means necessary, including multiple proxies, to attack not just Americans, but to attack Sunni Muslims, and to attack Jewish people, and to attack people that are atheists, and attack anyone that does not sign onto their agenda. Look at this list, read it and weep, because this is proof of intent. This is actual harm being caused. They're attacking ships. They're attacking embassies. They're attacking our troops. They're sending IED explosive devices into eastern Iraq to blow the arms and legs off our soldiers. So when you hear on the news that Iran has killed 635 of our troops, BS. The number's well over 2,000, and they're not even talking about the thousands of men that had been blown up with Iranian IED explosives.
That's right.
The truth has not come out of the media. No media. Not CNN, not MSNBC, not Fox, not anybody. Okay, but I'm telling you the truth. Iran has attacked us by any and all means that they have for the better part of 46 years. Taken hostages, killed hostages, you name it, they've done it. Now, intent is not arguable. If you want to argue intent and say Iran doesn't have any intent, intent to harm us doesn't exist with Iran, you are so stupid that you're not even worth arguing with, because the record proves otherwise. It's irrefutable proof that intent exists. Okay, now let's talk about means. We're going to learn, if things go the way Trump wants, we're going to get the details on the means. Did they really have uranium? Did they move uranium? Was it enriched to certain levels? Okay, now, let's talk about intent per their facilities. If you have a nuclear power facility and your nuclear ambitions are to provide power to your citizens, why would you spend the money to build your nuclear facilities 400 to 500 feet underground?
That's a legitimate question.
Nobody in their right mind would do that. Not to mention the fact, when you have the oil and gas that Iran does, nuclear energy is 4 times the cost of running your electric generation on natural gas. It doesn't make any sense. The fact that they built their facilities underground, the fact that they built facilities secretly underground, hid them from IAEA inspectors, okay, speaks to intent. Like I said, the case for intent is irrefutable. Now, let's talk about the means, okay? Because when you try to come up with real evidence that supports means, you've got to come up with facts. Did they have enrichment devices designed to enrich above the necessary threshold for nuclear energy? The answer is absolutely yes. Did they have the means to build a trigger? And when you look at the university files and other things that were stolen by the Mossad, clearly they were in the process of designing a nuclear trigger for weapons. Did they hire scientists for nuclear energy, or did they hire scientists and engineers who were nuclear weapons engineers? Clearly, they were developing the means to put together a weapon. Did they buy parts and take technical advice from AQ Khan, who had successfully developed nuclear weapons for Pakistan? The answer is yes. Okay, so as we look at the facts around means, we find that they are also irrefutable. So now we're down to opportunity. We've covered means and intent, but we haven't talked about opportunity, okay? Because right now, Iran has thousands of short-range rockets, short-range missiles, medium-range missiles, and long-range missiles.
Right.
What they don't have is an intercontinental ballistic missile, an ultra-long-range missile. So then the question comes down to, what would they need to attack America? Well, they would either need to get a ship with a missile launcher on it within 1,000 miles of the United States, which they could do right now. So there's a slight case for means. Or they'd have to have some kind of intercontinental ballistic missile program, development program. Turns out they do. So that covers opportunity. All right. They have the opportunity with a long-range intercontinental ballistic missile program. They have the opportunity to strike America from their homeland with a nuclear weapon. Now, that covers means, that covers opportunity, and that covers intent. And when you have means, opportunity, intent, all imminent, coming together, you have a legitimate threat, and a threat that is 1,000 times the threat that Iraq ever was to the United States, or that Afghanistan ever was to the United States. And so these people that conflate the lies of our intelligence community, the lies of the Bush administration, the lies of Obama, the lies of Biden, and say, well, I don't trust the government, there's no reason to attack Iran, they're not the same. The facts prove it out. They're just not the same. And it's not our intelligence agency. It's not the DIA. It's not the CIA. It's not the NSA telling us that Iran was close on means, opportunity, intent. It was the IAEA, it was the Mossad, it was all of these independent agencies that verified that Iran was right there. Now, I hope that that makes sense to people that are logical, because I too suffer from the abuse of a lying government over the last 50 years of my life. And I am sick and tired of it, and I don't trust the government. I worked for the government. I don't trust the government. I know things about the government, working for the government, that makes me not trust the government. Okay? So I get it. I get the trauma. I get all the past trauma. I get all the past history. I don't like war either. War is the worst of all options. When God told Adam to go forth and multiply, subdue the earth and fill it with his human creation, to me, that's a godly thing. And so children of God should not be killed. Simple as that. I don't like war. I think it's morally reprehensible. But in the same sense, if you come into my house and attack one of my family members, I will kill you faster than you can blink.
Mom, amen to that.
Because yeah. You're not a child of God. You're a child of Satan. Now,
and it's clear to me, by the way, that these people, the mullahs, the government of Iran, and again, I'll repeat this statistic, 96% of Iranians do not support their own government. They want regime change, which is a whole different topic, but okay. And so, for a lay investigator like me, okay, as opposed to a military strategy analyst like you, means, motive, and opportunity. I get that. I fully understand that. And a case can be made, I think, that indeed Iran reached that point over the weekend or close to that. So, but here's a question that if you can answer, great. How in the hell did we allow, through these multiple attacks on American citizens? Eric, I sent you a picture. And I don't look, the people my age will remember this. Sam, you remember this. In fact, this is TWA Flight 857, John Testrake lived probably 40 miles from where I sit right now. And I remember that whole... Folks, you remember this? It's on your screen right now. It should be burned into your mind. That was in 1983. Why in the hell weren't these... No, why wasn't Iran? I mean, this is just one of the examples you provided, but this was a good one. We lost a sailor, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes,
Robert Steedham. Why didn't we do anything? And I mean, I why now?
I can tell you a story about that incident at the White House.
Please go ahead.
Ronald Reagan called his staff together. He was 35 minutes late to his own meeting. The door flew open. He stormed into the Oval Office. He pounded his desk on a fist on the desk. He turned and scanned the room and looked at his staff, and he said, "I want that plane." And he walked out.
Okay.
So that was Ronald Reagan's position on it. He was famous for delegating sometimes a little too much.
All right.
But you asked the question. I think I'm hearing the question. Why hasn't a president had the gonads to deal with Iran long before this?
And that's my question. Instead, you have Obama sending pallets of cash, as well as, if I'm not mistaken, there are reports of certain technologies, whether covertly or overtly, from Obama And don't forget, Obama had Valerie Jarrett there, among other people. But
well, you know what Valerie Jarrett's nationality is?
Iranian.
There you go.
Yeah.
And so Obama wanted the MOP penetrator. It was being developed in 2009. It's being tested, final testing.
Okay.
In 2009. And I said on your show the last time, Obama was calling every day. The Joint Chief was sitting in on the tests every day. He was there every morning, and it was like, "Are we ready yet? Are we ready?" Because they wanted this to deal with Iran,
right.
But Obama's staff and the Democratic power, his cabinet, wouldn't support the decision, and so the whole thing got nixed. The next thing you know, they're making this stupid, ridiculous deal and giving Iran over $350 billion to fund their proxy war and their nuclear weapons program. And okay. that's how it shook out. But Obama knew they were a threat and wanted to deal with it. But it was the Democratic Party that stopped him. It was the Democratic machine, the deep state.
Isn't that?
And I'm not an Obama fan. Wow. Don't confuse me with someone who's an Obama lover. I can't stand the guy. Okay, but I can tell you for a fact, because I was involved. He wanted that weapon to get their nuclear program and destroy it, and it was the Democratic machine that stopped him. And nobody tells that story, but I'm going to tell it.
What?
So
I mean, continue. Yes,
that's the reality of it. And okay. So how unfortunate that Americans have been lied to for so many decades that now, when a legitimate threat and a truthful threat assessment identifies the most serious threat we've faced since the Bay of Pigs.
And that's a great analogy, by the way. Go ahead.
The most serious threat since the 1960s.
Yep.
And half of the conservatives in this country are in denial of the truth. That's how bad the lying has affected this country, and the misinformation and the lack of trust. And it's just, to me, it's more dangerous than our enemies.
In some respects, I agree.
This lack of discernment within our borders is more dangerous than Iran. Now let's talk about forever wars, because last time I was on, you were getting a lot of comments in the commentary that were anti-war, anti-Trump, Trump's this, Trump's that, he's a bad guy, he's going to get us involved in World War III, blah, blah, blah. Okay.
And by the way, that might have generated the verbal message, death threats to you, to this platform. Yes. You know, it has gotten to that level. And when it gets to that level, I'm more concerned about the fate of our nation, our country, and the rational decision making of America First people, which I'm an America First guy. Okay. Israel can fight their own stuff, in my view. America First means our protection, our safety. And this is what you hit on. I think you made a brilliant case for that America First by providing the talking points of the means, motive, and opportunity. I think that's fantastic, along with the threat from within, which allowed in by the Biden regime, not the Mr. Potato Head that Biden was, but by the regime in charge, which was a planned part of a planned destruction of our country. So, but I think folks have to really expand. Look, we can have this intellectual discussion. We don't have to go all Mark Levin and you know, pound the desk and call names. It's just
the
ridiculous.
Name calling. It accomplishes nothing.
Yeah, exactly.
Let's get to the facts. Let's get to the truth. And the truth is, Afghanistan was not a giant threat to the U.S. The truth is, Iraq was not a giant threat to the U.S. The truth is, the radical Islamic regime developing both a nuclear warhead, nuclear bomb, and an intercontinental ballistic missile program all combined was a threat to the whole world, not just the United States or Israel. That's the truth. If you're in denial of that, you probably need to go see a shrink, okay? Because the facts are overwhelming. overwhelming. And here's the thing. Trump didn't start this war by bombing Iran. This war's been going on covertly for the better part of 45 years. Oh, so yeah. let's call a spade a spade. Let's tell the truth about that. Yep. And Trump, you know, what were they saying? What were the people that disagreed with me saying in the comments? They were saying Trump's going to start World War III. Trump's going to do this. He's going to get us involved in a forever war. This is bad. This is horrible. He promised no new wars. No, what Trump said since 2009 was Iran cannot have a nuclear weapon.
Every president since Reagan said that.
Yes.
Including, I believe, President
Trump
Reagan.
Probably said it 50 times on the campaign trail in the last year.
Yeah.
Last year and a half. So let's be honest about what MAGA is and what Trump stood for. And Trump's stood for peace. He stood for no new wars. And I told you he will go after them. He will end this thing quickly. They were mocking me in the chat last time I was on your show saying, oh, 2 days, huh? Oh, excuse me. We were only in Iran for about 5 hours with our B-2s.
And the whole mission was 37 hours, right?
Something flying out of Whitman, you know, they build a bridge, a refueling bridge.
Yeah.
But they spend very little time over enemy territory.
Right.
They drop their stuff so precisely, it's hard to conceive from 13 miles up that you can hit a 3-foot circle.
I had no idea.
Something moving at supersonic speed. And let me tell you what they did. They deliberately dropped these weapons down the ventilation shafts because it ensured full penetration.
Right.
And you know, how do we know the bombs worked? And I'm going to explain to you technically how we know. Because I've talked to engineers that worked on the design of the MOP as well recently that have looked at the same satellite intel I have. And here's how we know. When those bombs went in the ventilation shafts, if they had blown up too early, there would have been cratering at the surface. But you didn't see big craters like a normal bomb blowing up at the surface.
Good point.
What you saw were holes in the ground of things moving at supersonic speed. 30,000-pound missile dropping at supersonic speed, flying so accurately it flew down the 3 parallel ventilation shafts, got all the way to the bottom, and blew up. And the overpressure and the heat of 5,000 pounds of that type of explosive was so, the overpressure was so great and it was so hot that it discolored the surface of the earth 350 to 500 feet above the explosion.
I did not know that in particular. That is amazing.
That's how we know it worked, because if it had blown up early, we would have seen a big chunk of the earth blown out into something the size of a crater.
And I understand that concept.
Now, we also have nuclear radiation leaks. We have a uranium fire underground that is continuing to make heat. Now, if you don't have satellites with thermal capability and with radar capability and with some of the things that we have, you may not understand all this. If you've never worked with that type of technology, you may not understand. But it takes about 10 to 12 days to do what we call a battle damage assessment or a bomb damage assessment. Okay, and we do it a lot of different ways. Sometimes we have people on the ground. Sometimes it's too hot. Sometimes we do it with radiation detection equipment that we overfly with. Sometimes we do it with thermal cameras. But just look at the temperature. Look at the dark color of the surface of the earth and imagine how hot that got. Now, how much overpressure and heat do you have to have 500 feet underneath the surface, or even 300 feet as the news media said, which is not accurate. But even at 300 feet, how big an explosion, how much heat, how much overpressure would you have to heat the surface through 300 feet of granite and limestone? Brother, that's a lot more heat than a centrifuge can withstand. Just saying.
Yeah, exactly. Now, here comes another, because I had an issue with the immediate or the lack of an immediate battle damage assessment at the last show up on Monday. I was somewhat cocky about that.
You're frustrated by it?
Frustrated, right. Because why aren't we, and yesterday, I'm not going to say who, but somebody contacted me yesterday, said, I need to talk to you. And this person is very reliable and has contacts within the, that area of the military but I'll just leave that alone. And I trust this person. And this person said, you know, caught your show when you were mocking the lack of BDAs. You're wrong. And I said, well, talk to me. Tell me. And explained exactly what you just said. But continue. Folks, everything Sam is saying right here is like 100%. I'm in total agreement with Sam Andrews. And by the way, folks, I did not give his website. Shame on me. It's freedomtrain.net. And I'll tell you something. If you are in the market for a customized high-end weapon, Sam Andrews will build it for you. He's an amazing, the guy's amazing. Plus, like the name says, if you want to train, hey, your militia or your family, contact freedomtrain.net or contact Sam Andrews via freedomtrain.net. I'm telling you, it's worth every penny and it's worth your time. And I guarantee you, Sam will not let you down. And he's the best, as far as I'm concerned, he's the best of the best that's out there. So having said that, continue, sir.
Appreciate that, Doug. Yeah, we love training people, Americans, and I believe that strong individuals make for strong families, and strong families make for strong communities, and strong communities make for strong states. And in the United States, strong states make for a very strong country. And let me tell you, the guys that designed the MOP, these are country boys. They're Missouri ranchers and farmers. They grew up farming. Went to engineering school, took a job with Boeing, and said, we got to come up with something to deal with these hardened underground structures that China, North Korea, and Iran are constructing. And what a wonderful job they did. And the technical challenges, the engineering lessons that came from the development of this weapon, I wish I could talk about them openly. But it's absolutely fascinating what we learned in the development of this particular weapon system. We learned about metallurgy. We learned about high-frequency vibrations. We learned things about explosives. We learned things about triggers. And we learned things about navigation. The navigation system on this weapon that allows it to operate with incredible precision in a GPS-denied environment. I'm telling you, I almost think this weapon was God inspired because of the genius in the design of this thing. And here, a handful of boys from Missouri, farmers and ranchers, who had the smarts to go to engineering school, designed a weapon that made the whole world safer. And I agree with that. So proud of those guys. I can't even begin to describe to you how proud I am of my state and the city I grew up. But it was the St. Louis boys and Boeing that made this thing happen and made it real. And what a great job they did. Thank God.
I'm telling you, I was very impressed when you said a 3-foot ventilation shaft from 12 and a half, 13, almost 13 miles in the air. Oh, wow. And penetrating, again, that 300 feet depth is really... stop it with the medium. No, it's much deeper than that. And the destruction intended was accomplished, and it's because of your guys, well, people you know. So thank you.
Yeah, my guys were amazing on that deal.
Yeah,
you know, and I'm lucky. I grew up with a grandfather that was an inventor, a father that was a mathematician and engineer. My uncle was a General Motors engineer. His son was an engineer who was the head of the tilt rotor project down in Texas in Bedford. Okay, they're the ones that developed the Osprey 22. And so I've been around this culture of engineers, machinists, and inventors my whole life. And what a privilege it is to watch their genius work.
Yeah.
And it has made a difference to America. And to me, I couldn't be more proud of these people.
And you know, I know people will take issue or are taking issue with the God-inspired fact, the God-inspired behind the development of this weapon. But you know, to those who are saying this, I just want to point this out. I learned a heck of a lot about the role of Persia, biblical Persia, and Israel, and from the Bible. I mean, the numerous scriptures, again, from Genesis to Revelation. And yes, I don't doubt for one second, given the prophetic nature of what we're seeing right now, how it fits into things, that yes, this could very well have been God inspired.
Well, let me make the case for that.
Go ahead.
Okay, what was God's first command to Adam? Right, go forth and multiply.
Yes.
Right, subdue the earth, fill it with my human creation. What was said in Isaiah 55:11? Words will not be uttered from my lips and return to me empty without accomplishing the task for which they were sent. So when God told Adam, go and multiply and fill the earth, did you think he wasn't going to get his way? And Iran, the mullahs, the radical Shia Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps and the mullahs, that is the biggest death cult on planet Earth.
Oh, yeah.
You think Bill Gates and Iran, you know, I mean, who's killed more people? I'm not sure I can total it up. The numbers are too big, right? And so when you look at the fact that God wants his earth populated with his children,
and his children.
These yes. cults want to destroy human life,
yep.
Okay, in the name of God, how horrific is that?
Yes.
And look at what Trump is doing. Is Trump killing God's children with war? No, he's precisely placing GBU-57s down ventilation shafts to destroy a weapons program that would kill millions of God's children.
Okay, now about that and extending that a little bit. What really impressed me, I guess, good, bad, or indifferent, it doesn't matter. But a lot of people were describing President Trump as Netanyahu's bitch.
Ridiculous. Who was Trump defending by dropping those bombs? First, he was defending America. Second, he was defending Saudi Arabia.
Yes.
See, people that say he was defending Israel don't understand the Middle East. The two biggest powers, the greatest tension in the Middle East is the Sunni Muslims in Saudi Arabia and the radical Shia Muslims in Iran. And
Amen.
If you don't understand that, you don't know what you're talking about.
And
now, if you were saying he was in Saudi
yeah.
Arabia's pocket, well, that's a lot more feasible than Israel's pocket.
If we isolate this case, the whole scenario surrounding this case, that I can completely understand. And when he popped off against Netanyahu, I saw a genuine, you know, basically FU.
Anger and frustration.
Yes. Like, what the hell? You know, I'm working to stop this, and you morons. Especially he went off on Netanyahu. That was 1 minute from a 7 minute clip, or I think it was almost 7 minutes. So I the people, again, the people who are dogmatic, and this is part of it too. There are a lot of people very dogmatic about Israel, one way or the other. And those people,
for no intelligent reason.
There it is. Thank you. Continue, please.
You know, I'm done with the haters, Doug. If you're going to be a hater, you're going to find a reason to hate.
Yeah.
Okay. There's no amount of truth that will change your mind if you're a hater. And see, the problem is we've stopped as men dealing in facts and operating and thinking with discernment. So we stake a position out and then we try to build a case for it.
Yes.
Okay. Instead of look at the facts and understand what the case is and call it what it is. What did Einstein say? He said, don't make anything simpler than it is, and don't make anything more complex than it is. Let it be exactly what it is. And we better start doing this, because remember, we at the beginning of the show, we talked about prioritization. If Yes. we don't get these threat assessments right, and we don't prioritize the real big threats, and we get caught up in the minutiae of a bunch of little threats, we will be destroyed. And AI will make it happen quickly.
And that's a fantastic point. Thank you. Go ahead.
This is the biggest problem with the lack of Americans' logical thinking and discernment, is that we're in a very dangerous time right now. If we don't get the AI thing right, and we don't get the threat assessments right, the country that does a better job than us will destroy America. And we better figure this stuff out. And we better stop making political arguments and emotional arguments and illogical arguments and arguments that aren't based in reality and fact. Because if we keep prioritizing the way we do politically and emotionally, we will not get it right. And the men that do get it right will dominate this country and take it over. I can promise you that. And AI will make it happen so fast, your head will spin.
And I love that you brought AI up. And we can talk about that another time. Because AI right now, there's a lot of discussion about this. If you listen to InfoWars, Alex Jones, as a matter of fact, what was it, a couple of weeks ago, he was talking about Palantir. But aside from that, they're inextricably linked or in... That's not the right word. They're very much linked. The threat and AI and how they complement work together. You're 100% accurate, and I'm so glad that you brought that up as eloquently as you did, better than I could ever do, and I appreciate that. So continue, sir.
Well, Doug, I've been saying for the better part of 10 years that we are about a decade away from warfare taking a paradigm shift. So for 6,000 years of human existence, we've had these magnetic personality leaders that could drum up strong men to do their bidding and fight their wars for them.
Right. Right?
Remember Hitler giving all those emotional speeches and deceiving the German people and then coercing the ones he couldn't deceive. Right. This has been the history of humankind for over 6,000 years. But we're about to enter a complete paradigm shift. It will no longer be the magnetic personality running for mayor in New York who rises up to do evil. It will be the guy who can build the smartest drones, robots, and AI that will take over. Tyranny will make a paradigm shift very, very quickly. And you saw the beginning of it with the Mossad going into Iran, building drones inside Iran in their own little drone factories, and then using those drones to destroy aircraft, missile launchers. Don't think the Chinese aren't doing the exact same thing in the United States of America right now. And I think that is a huge set. They're doing the same exact thing in America that the Mossad has been doing it around for the last 10 years.
Amen to that. I'm 100% in agreement with that. Again, this is independent of your knowledge, much greater than mine. I get some nuggets here and there. So what you're saying, or what I've learned, does comport with what you're saying, and that makes me feel good about the source. The source is plural. I've got if they comport with your information. So thank you for that.
Look at the land that Chinese buying all around our secure military installations. Look at the farmland and stuff they're buying up. Why are we letting them do this?
I was just going to ask you that. Why in the hell is this being allowed? In some states, encouraged.
Well, you know, the B-2s fly out of Whitman Air Force Base in the middle of Missouri.
I got a phone call from one of your neighbors saying, hey, there's a whole shit ton of activity here. And that was, I don't know, 24 hours before the... Before that was on Friday, I think, before the Saturday. But anyway, go ahead. Continue.
Yeah, and so why are we allowing the Chinese to own land right around Whitman Air Force Base? That the B-2s are a wonderful strategic asset.
Yeah.
Why are we doing this? It doesn't make sense to me. And hopefully Trump is on to it and they'll take care of it. But it needs to be dealt with. And so, you know, another thing you've heard on the news about the 1,500 Iranians that the Obama Border Patrol captured, and they released 732 into the country. Don't worry about those guys. Okay, they're criminals. They might rape you. They might rob you. They might sell your kid drugs, and your kid might overdose. But don't worry about them. Okay, the real problem are the gotaways, the ones that nobody knows are here. The ones that paid their way in to come in undetected, those are the people we have to find.
Again, I cannot agree with you more. And we have to, the other kind of tangential aspect of that is I have a problem, though, with Pam Bondi and Kash Patel, Dan Bongino as well. You know, there's no way that they don't know about this. They'll go on Fox, their favorite channel, especially Pam Bondi, and talk about whatever. But, and that's fine. But if there's action, we need action. And also the public, I think, needs to understand the great threat that those individuals that you reference pose to every American citizen. Because I'll tell you something.
Let's talk about what's worse than the Iranian gotaways that have snuck in. The Chinese gotaways. Yeah. Because before Biden took office, there were about 257,000 known, by our intelligence community, Chinese spies inside the continental United States. 257,000 known people.
Right.
Fang Fang being probably the most famous, right? Or the spy
out. She hasn't checked in lately. I think she's buried.
The spy out at Sandia, maybe, you know.
Oh, yeah.
But, the spy out at Sandia is probably competing with Fang Fang for the most famous Chinese spy recently. But under the Biden administration, okay, that number has grown to over 500,000 inside the United States because of the open borders.
Yeah, I'll take a couple egg rolls with that. Go ahead. I mean, yeah.
You know, I've seen the list of 17 that the Department of Justice has corralled the Iranians that they've arrested. I've seen the photos, including one past Iranian sniper. Okay, maybe they got one bad guy, you know, but an Iranian sniper, you know, doesn't hold a candle to a Marine or Army sniper in America. They're training their field craft, their equipment, you know. I'm not worried about that guy. Okay.
Well, it's like you said, it's the those who we don't exactly know about or that we know of but don't know where or specifically who. But
you want to know what worries me about real threats to the United States?
What's that?
The briefcase nukes that disappeared when the Soviet Union broke up.
So that's number one. Yeah,
that's number one. You know what's number two? China giving Iran, smuggling it into Iranian space, a Chinese ICBM with a Chinese trigger and a Chinese nuclear warhead.
So
that bothers me.
Now, I heard some news reports, and I'm not sure exactly Tell me about that. Did that happen, or were they threatening to do the China?
Was
they,
China there was some them? Talk between North Korea, Pakistan, and China saying, well, they'll just give Iran a nuclear weapon. But it shut up really quick when Trump mentioned, well, if your D-bag proxy blocks a Strait of Hormuz, right, you don't get oil. So maybe you don't want to pump these guys up. Oh, and by the way, they want to destroy you too because you're not radical Islam. You know,
got to remind them about that.
Yeah, occasionally you have to remind them of where they're at, right? And so what I want to mention is there are real threats out there. The Chinese spies inside our country, the briefcase nukes, dirty bombs from uranium that's only been enriched to 60%. It's still radioactive and causes huge problems that can't be repaired in years and years. Okay, so we've got real dirty bombs, real briefcase nukes. We've got possibility of China or North Korea giving somebody like Iran a nuclear weapon, the Islamic Republican Guard Corps. Okay, those things make me lose sleep at night. Those are real threats. Okay,
let me ask you a question. As long as you're listening, those threats. Do you have any concern about a false flag by the deep state? Take that however you want to take that. But the globalists, shall we say, using, for example, one of those issues, the threats that you mentioned, using that to escalate tensions and, of course, the possibility of war right now. Is it greater?
I don't think so. I don't think so right now, because the deep state has been neutered to a large degree, and the deep state would only cause the Democrats and the Biden regime to be blamed for anything that happened, you know, in the first couple years of Trump's presidency, because everybody knows he shut the border down right away. And so any of these actors that got in and did anything inside the continental United States, the blame historically would be attributed to Biden and the deep state. So I don't think they're that stupid.
Okay.
I do think that we have some evil forces around the planet that want population reduction. The Bill Gates and the George Soros is being the chief, and you wonder why they gave Iran money and why they made that deal. Because it was a Soros-run organization by an Iranian plant inside the Obama administration that's for population reduction. Why wouldn't they give them $350 billion and ignore their secret nuclear weapons program?
And there you have it, folks.
I believe that's the answer. Yeah. Strategically, it's the only thing that fits.
Yeah. And a lot of people... And this is a problem. I see a lot of people have very short, limited memories, and I don't want to be disparaging, but a lot of people don't. They're so used to like character limitations. If it goes over 250 characters, as it used to on Twitter, you know, we don't read much more than that. It's too, what is it? TLDR, too long, didn't read. But. I said last week or maybe on Monday, you know, a little knowledge can be a dangerous thing. So deeper, the deeper you go into this, like, for example, with Sam Andrews, the more you realize not only just how much we've been lied to, but how different and severe the threats against us are. Go ahead, sir.
Yeah, I think it's fascinating. I got to tell you, the thing that I'm really interested in knowing, other than the damage assessment and where any uranium that was moved from the big facilities, where it went, those are questions in my mind.
Let's talk about that. Could turn into
real threats. Okay. Well, there were 16 trucks last Wednesday, a week ago last Wednesday, before the B-2s went in, 16 box trucks that were loaded up with stuff from Fort Ol. And drove away. Now, I know this. I know the Mossad is, they have contacts inside the Iranian army as high as the rank of general.
Wow. Okay.
So we have intelligence agency people that are talking with flag officers inside Iran. So if they do rise up and do the regime change thing, I suspect it will be a general in the regular Iran army, or it will be someone who's been compromised inside the Islamic Republican Guard Corps that will step up and lead the regime change if that happens. And see, the thing that people don't know, and my friend who grew up in Iran told me this, is that they killed all of the people that opposed the regime and killed their sons and their families. That this is a murderous regime that killed their political opposition. They said, if they threw you in jail, you weren't considered political opposition. You were just considered a nuisance because they murdered the people that opposed the regime. And see, we did this to Iraq. When we went into Iraq the first time, Norman Schwarzkopf told everybody, got to go in, got to finish this, got to get Saddam, got to get his sons, got to get this evil regime out of power, or we'll be back here in 10 years. And we told our intelligence agencies in Iraq, told the contacts inside Iraq, stand up, revolt against Saddam, we'll back your play, we're behind you. And then Colin Powell convinced Bush to pull everything out, including our intel support. And Saddam and his henchmen went around and murdered 5,000 men and their families that he considered political opposition. Now, that all took place in less than 18 months.
Right.
Iran's leaders have been killing their political opposition for 4 decades. So, do I think there's civilians that want to stand up? No. I think most of those people have been killed. Are there 80% of Iran that wants to see somebody else stand up? Probably.
Kind of like, in a sense, kind of like here. We want a revolution. But you do it. Let me know when you go, okay? Or when you do it first. Maybe that's a bad comparison, but you know.
Well, we haven't killed political opposition in this country like Iran has. Nobody has since Mao.
No.
I think Mao starved 40 to 80 million people, depending on whose estimates you believe. But to kill political opposition on the level that Iran has and commit these kinds of crimes against humanity and have it never even hardly mentioned for 40 years is really sad. It's
Indeed.
horrific beyond measure. But that's why I don't believe you're going to see this giant civilian movement materialize. Now, maybe if there's a strong military leader who can hit the Republican Guard hard quickly and tamp them down a little bit, maybe then the people will rise up. But I wouldn't give it a 20% chance at this point, Doug.
Okay. So if I hear what you're saying, if regime change is going to happen, it's going to have to be facilitated at a state level or
Well,
nation state level.
there's going to have to be some major event that lowers the fear factor of the regime in power now. Now, having said that, I find it fascinating that we haven't heard Jack from Mr. Khomeini in like what, 5, 6 days now? Now, even when a leader goes into hiding, they generally run handwritten notes out, so they're not broadcasting anything. And they generally create videos to tell their people to stand up and be brave and that we're winning and all the propaganda. We haven't even seen a propaganda video from this guy. So I'm wondering, did the Mossad get him before the ceasefire? What actually happened? Because I haven't heard anything from that guy in at least 5 days.
And you had mentioned that before we went on air, and I wow. So if he is no longer with us, let's use that just for right now. What would you expect to happen at this point?
Well, I think that's one factor or one event that would reduce the fear of the population, the fear of this regime. I think the more you cut the heads off the snake, and it's a multiple-headed snake, the more the fear level drops among the population of Iranian people that just want peace and want a prosperous life and don't want to be part of radical Islamic Shia jihad
Amen.
and the caliphate that goes with it.
Wow. And folks, for additional information about that, I'll put a link to Sam's our previous conversation about this, because Sam went into a lot of detail about this and related issues. So I'll put a link in the program description box. Go to HagmanPI.com and click on the link to the previous discussion we had. Also, the freedomtrain.net, Sam Andrews, I've got to say, the best of the best. If you want quality training, various levels, go to freedomtrain.net and check it out. And of course, there's contact information there. And also, if you want a really super, super high-end weapon that I'm not going to say you'd be able to shoot like Sam. I doubt it, but it's going to give you a better chance. He'll build it for you. But again, those are custom builds, and it's well worth the investment. I'll just say that. So freedomtrain.net, the best of the best. And we have nothing but the best of the best with Sam Andrews. Continue, sir. I appreciate your time, your expertise, and your logical approach to what we're seeing. And it's an emotional topic, which I just...
Well, what did you think about the reaction of the NATO and the country leaders at the NATO summit to Trump? I would have never imagined that a year ago.
Yeah. Okay. Give me, if you don't mind, give us, myself and the listeners and viewers, an overview of exactly what you're referencing, the reaction, the position, the reaction, and why it is different than you expected. Because I want to hear that.
Well, I watched Trump get out of the limo,
yep,
walk up the red carpet, walk into the building, be greeted by the leader of the country that he was in, the host country, the premier guy. And his wife was there, and another woman was there, a younger woman. It might have been his daughter. I don't know. It might have been an assistant. And they shook hands, and he spoke to the male leader of the country. And his body language was this sort of doting sense of admiration, like he just met a rock star, like he just met one of the Beatles or Elvis Presley himself. You know, I've never seen a reaction from a head of state like that. And his wife was the same way. She was just enamored with the guy, like she was meeting Brad Pitt for the first time or something. You know, I mean, it was. And then the body language, I'm just reading the body language, I can't hear all the words,
right?
The microphones weren't close enough. But it was so obvious from the body language that they were so happy to see him and so grateful that he took time to come to the NATO summit. And then the result, which I like, by the way, he convinced every country but Spain in NATO to do 5% of GDP. And they went from 2% to 3.5% on weapons.
Okay.
Expenditure on weapons. And then the rest of the 5%, the 1.5% that was left, the countries agreed to do cybersecurity and security for their people.
Now, I didn't hear that. I didn't hear about that.
Yeah, okay. Those some of the details that came out of the conference. And I thought to myself, nobody in NATO would have imagined even being at 3%, much less 5%, much less have the wisdom to say, look, you need this 1.5% additional for cybersecurity, to protect your cyber infrastructure, and also to build shelters and protect your people. See, now, and the thing that I've learned about Trump in the last 6 months that I didn't realize in his first presidency, he's a different person now. He's a more godly person now, despite his F-bomb. Okay.
That to me, that's me. Yeah, go ahead. Yeah.
That might have been for show anyway. But my point is that he understands that all humans on earth are God's children and deserve to be protected. And he is taking that Christian principle that godly principle. He's literally taking that into his foreign policy and into his defense strategy. And he has convinced these other countries that he really cares about their people, and they should too. And it has had an incredible motivating effect on these world leaders and what they're willing to spend on not just weapons, offensive weapons and missile defense systems, but on civilian, on the defense of human life.
Amen.
And it is something that would not have occurred had Trump's team not been deeply involved in that strategy. And I know he may not get credit for it historically, but I guarantee you that's where it came from. It came from Trump's religious views, his belief in God, and his belief that God's children deserve to be protected, and the wasting, the killing of human life is just plain wrong. And he has taken that message, and through hook or crook, whatever, he has convinced everyone else that's leading a country to get on board with him, particularly the NATO countries. Now, he may have more trouble with the Asian countries, but the NATO countries, they've bought in. Everybody but Spain. And he told Spain, he said, look, you don't want to pay your 5% for NATO? One of two things will happen. Either we won't come to your aid when you're attacked, or we'll just double or triple your tariffs, and you'll wind up paying twice as much as you would have paid into NATO, but you'll pay it to us because we'll wind up having to pick up the slack anyway. What a genius move.
That was brilliant, and I do suspect that I suspect compliance.
Wait till the businessmen in Spain, which is an amazing country, but wait till the businessmen in Spain, the big guys, right?
Yep.
The Elon Musks of Spain, the Bezoses of Spain. Wait till they get a hold of the premier. And do you see what Trump's going to do to us on tariffs?
Yeah.
Do you want to live to see next week? You better fix this and fix it now. That's what's going to happen.
Well, the way I look at the United States, I mean, for too long, we've been picking up the tab, whether it's NATO or something else, and we have endured a lot of disrespect by weak leader because of weak leaders.
Did you say the United States has endured that? Is that what you said?
Yes. I would
say the American taxpayer.
Well,
same,
okay.
Same,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. But, well,
we're saying the same thing.
Yes. You said it more clearly and more precisely. But we've been taking it up the, you know, wazoo because of the leadership, because of Biden, his regime. I do believe that.
Cheney.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
You see Liz Cheney's net worth before she got involved with USAID and afterwards?
You know something? I had that.
Cheney.
There was a graphic, yeah.
Cheney. Obama. Cheney. Biden.
Yep.
Bush.
Oh, yeah. It's a bipartisan whatever, but yes.
It's a bipartisan theft scheme that's been going on for way too long.
At our expense in many ways. So,
you know who else has sort of taken Spain's position, which I find absolutely hysterical?
Oh, do tell.
Canada.
Well, Canada, they're foaming at the mouth to become a part of the EU. I mean, what the hell? Okay, but anyway, Mark Carney, of course. Yeah. What do you expect from Mark Carney and people like him? But yeah, that's an interesting.
I think it's hilarious. Like Trump won't let them suffer and teach him a lesson. Yeah, it's like, do these people not get Donald Trump yet? It's like Trump derangement system. Like there's this, it's like COVID. It just keeps coming back. You know, it just keeps infecting their thought process. And you would think by now, if Trump said, yeah, I want to be part of NATO, you know, Article 5, blah, blah, blah. You got to pay your way, man.
Yeah.
We're not picking up the tab anymore. You think they would, by now they would take the guy seriously.
Well, I think it's historically, they look at the U.S. We had leaders presidents who were said one thing and did another, or never followed through, or were weak from the onset, or were duplicitous anyway with the American people and with their intentions. So it's kind of like the what we saw. I think that we can make some parallels to this bombing mission. I don't know how.
Well, exactly. don't think for one second that Trump isn't interested in regime change.
Oh, I'm sure he is.
He and his team have a target date where they want to make that happen. Now, they may think that Khomeini's going to be gone in 3 years and then it'll be easier. Or they may have a plan of Iran busting the ceasefire and then all hell breaking loose and then making things happen. But I guarantee you, Trump understands the death cult that is the Shia Iranian Islamic Republican Guard Corps. I do believe he understands that. And it wouldn't surprise me that he's deliberately avoiding any discussion of regime change because Khomeini is either on ice or about to be on ice.
And you're the first person I heard actually make that argument or at least outline that point, because we don't know where he is.
You see Trump when he was doing the gaggle on the plane and somebody asked him about regime change?
Yeah.
Did you see his non-vocal cues?
Yeah. Yes.
Like, he's like, we're not looking for regime change. That would cause chaos, and we don't want that level of chaos. Did you see that played out?
Yeah, and you know what, folks, do yourself a favor, because we've talked about behavioral analysis on this show. And now, understand there are no absolutes with respect to body language and stuff. However, do yourself a favor, watch that once, and then watch it without the sound, and tell me what you come away with. I'm telling you, it's really something. But but I don't think this regime change idea, the more because that didn't set right with me, because you know the CIA involved and our government involved in all these changes. I mean, tell me one that's really worked out. So I don't know. I don't think, but I could be wrong, that we're doing this or anything like this on behalf of Israel. Do you?
No, this is not. None of the Americans' actions are on behalf of Israel. I can promise you that.
Okay.
It's on behalf of the United Arab Emirates. Let me ask you this question. Who did Trump go see right before all this stuff started, okay, right before he, you know, before the 60 days was up?
Right.
Who did Trump go visit? And he was gone for the better part of a week and never mentioned Israel.
Was it Qatar?
He was at Saudi Arabia. He was at Qatar. He was at the United Arab Emirates, right? What was he doing there? He wasn't talking oil and AI. He was talking about a lot more than that. And what did those countries want? They wanted the most destabilizing force in their world, Iran, to be dealt with. And now, they told him that.
Okay. And again, that's on behalf of America. Our safety and security. I get that. Plus our prosperity. I would also suspect is involved there. But my question is, why wouldn't he say, hey, you know what? This is closer to you than it is to us. You guys get involved. Do what you gotta do.
I'll tell you why.
Again? What?
No, he said, you're not going to have to get involved. Israel, do the work. Okay. That's what he told him. And I'll tell you what else he said was, no, you need to worry about prosperity. Let me tell you how this thing's going to go down. Iran's going to lose, and they're going to lose big. They're not getting a nuclear weapon. We're going to make sure of it. We have the weapons to do it. You don't want to be on the losing side. We want you to stay out. And if you want to throw up, they've invaded our Muslim brother's sovereignty or some comment like that, feel free. We don't care. But don't get involved. And see, here's the thing. People don't really understand the gravitas of the hate between Shia Muslims and Sunni Muslims. They've been killing each other for thousands of years.
Yep.
Okay? The closest thing a Christian can get to understanding this is the Catholics and the Protestants in Ireland.
And that's a good analogy, but not as, I mean, it's a good analogy, but the Shia versus Sunnis is probably a little bit more violent and
deeply
vicious.
Embedded and yeah. Vicious and been going on for thousands of years.
Absolutely.
A long time.
Yeah.
Certainly more than 1,000 years old,
yep.
This conflict.
Yeah.
Right? So it's not a coincidence that Trump did the tour of the wealthy Sunni Muslim countries where they could talk in private and they could whisper in each other's ear and they could lay the groundwork for what happened in the last 2 weeks. And that is not a coincidence, Doc.
No, and I'm surprised we really didn't hit on that.
Nobody's talking about that. But they don't understand statecraft. They don't understand diplomacy. You know, my dad taught me this when I was a young boy. He manufactured printing presses. Mark Andy was the name of the company. They built flexographic printing presses. My grandfather invented the flexographic printing press. Okay, back in 1946.
Wow.
And we're down at a printing conference in New Orleans. And my dad says to me, and you know, I'm like 11 years old. He says, hey, I'm going to go to a breakfast meeting. Do you want to go with me? I said, sure. What's the goal of the meeting, Dad? He said, we make printing presses and we want all the printing universities to use our presses because they're the one training the printers. And we want the printers, the young printers coming up in the industry, to love Mark Andy presses and to love our equipment and to be trained on it and familiar with it. And that way they'll advise the printing companies they work for to go buy Mark Andy presses because that's what they know how to operate. I said, okay, how are you going to do that in a meeting? He said, well, we're going to have a meeting with a bunch of the university representatives in the printing industry, and I'm going to offer to give them free printing presses for the university. And I'm like, well, that's kind of expensive. He says, it'll be about $4 million. We'll give out about 12 presses. He said, but we'll sell 112 because we did that.
He said,
what I'm going to get. I said, you're not going to ask for money? He said, no. He said, I'm going to ask that they train their printers. Their curriculum is centered on Mark Andy equipment and capabilities and technology.
And what was the end of the story? I mean,
went to the meeting and I watched him work these guys. And when the meeting was over, he looked at me and he said, listen, before you do anything publicly, you always go and sell what you're doing backdoor and get strict confirmation that people are on board before you do it. And see, this is an absolute tenet of business and also politics. What do you think the majority whip does?
Well, that's
votes before things come to the floor, right?
Right. Yes.
The backdoor sales are made before the deal is official publicly. And see, that's what my dad taught me at a very early age. And I watched Trump do this with diplomacy, not politics, not business in manufacturing, but with diplomacy. I've watched him make trips and sell things backdoor, and then literally 2 to 4 weeks later, something huge happens. And these people that he just visited don't do a single thing to deter his agenda. That is not coincidence, particularly in the Middle East. I promise you.
I really never, man, I'll tell you what, I'm slow on the uptake because I really never put that together. And you did so very beautifully. And again, Sam Andrews is light years ahead of others. And I respect his assessments on current events, especially this one. So, by the way, I'm going to mention it one more time, freedomtrain.net, freedomtrain.net. And you can actually contact Sam and speak with him, but don't waste his time. But there's training, different levels of training. And I'll tell you something, I don't think there's any other civilian training course that even comes close to freedomtrain.net. So I really appreciate what he does. And he's an asset to all of us who are looking for a way to sharpen our skills and take it to whatever level. Go ahead, sir.
Doug, we created the Freedom Center for wealthy businessmen, created the Freedom Center to teach people, Americans predominantly. We had no idea the international customers we'd get, but we did it to teach Americans the skills that preserve freedom in the United States of America. And we subsidized the training about 50%. It's not a profit thing. All the people involved in the creation of the Freedom Center have all made their money. They're not looking to make cash. They're looking to provide the finest training in the world. There's no place you can come to train at the level that we can train you. We've trained people from 17 different countries and 48 different states in the United States of America.
If I can ask you, I don't know the answer to this question, but have you seen or observed the weapons training that the FBI goes through?
Yes.
Okay. Would it be erroneous for me to say yours is more comprehensive and, quite frankly,
dramatically
better,
completely
better.
Different.
Yes, thank you.
So the FBI, they do a little bit of cross training, but it's more HRT that cross trains with CAG and the SEALs.
Right.
The standard FBI agents kind of get the standard federal law enforcement weapons training, which in some ways is better than military basic training. In other ways, it's not. We're at a whole different level. If I were to take 100 FBI agents and you give them to me for 1 week of training and you give them to any other facility in the country or in the world for a month, my guys would outshoot that other group.
I guarantee. Look, I promise you. Yeah, I'm 100% behind you on that, with you on that. I had an opportunity to take a look at, it was brief, but it was enough to give me a sense of what the FBI was, how they were training and what their training program encompassed. Yours, on the other hand, is far and away better, a lot better, a lot more. It's a lot more practical too.
The mechanics of how we train are different.
Yep.
We understand the physics of what happens with recoil and energy when a weapon is fired and how that energy gets distributed through the body and what positions the body needs to be in to make super fast, accurate hits. Okay. We understand things that other people don't understand. And also we cut the fat out. We cut the fluff out.
Yes.
You go to a lot of training schools and you'll be stuck on a firing line with 12 to 20 people and one instructor and maybe a safety officer, and he'll start giving you drills to do. Okay, when you come and train at the Freedom Center, you're on the firing line with an instructor that close to you.
Yep.
He is watching everything you do. He knows when your eyelashes move. And you don't get away with any bad habits. And what it boils down to is you learn to practice things perfectly. See, the lie is that practice makes perfect. That's a lie. The truth is that practice makes permanent. So if you practice something wrong, you will suck at it the rest of your life.
And man, you've seen that.
All the time.
And you were talking about that week with the FBI agents. I'll tell you something. You would need, 3 days to undo the training or the erroneous
stuff. The bad habits are hard to break.
Yeah.
So the guys that come in with the most training are the hardest to teach.
Yes.
Unless they've worked with a SEAL team or they've worked with national mission asset team. And they use the type of techniques that we use, then they're going to have a lot of bad habits to break. And I remember a SWAT sniper from a state agency coming in, and he was angry that I told him he had to take the basic class first. And I said, if you don't learn three things that you've never heard before in the first 3 hours, I'll refund your money. And I'll give you 1,000 rounds of ammo. He's like, okay. And so about 30 minutes into the safety lecture, he was bored as all get out, sitting in the back of the room, shifting around, you know, just like, oh boy. And then about an hour and a half in, I could see the veins popping out of his neck. I could see his face turning red. I'm like, hey, Paulie, what's wrong, man? You don't look happy. And he says, why did they not teach me this in SWAT school? And I said, because they didn't know.
That's a scary thought.
Think
you know
that.
Yes.
And you're learning high level stuff in the very first class that you take. And you are a different human being after 2 days of pistol training and 2 days of rifle training at our facility. It is a life-changing experience to train with our guys. Because the program is so well done. The curriculum is so effective. The drills are so effective. And you just learn faster.
And I was thinking about your training courses. Have you noticed the uptick in situations that are threatening your safety, your lives? I mean, it's, you don't have to go very far.
Protesters blocking the street. If you live near a city, you're going to run into crowds that are going to pin your car in. You got to know what to do.
And that, again, that is taught by Sam and his team. And that's why I encourage everyone to me, your demographic or your target audience would be, I don't know, the 40 middle-aged man with a son or two, or even daughters. However, it doesn't stop there. We actually
have more guys bring their daughters than bring their sons.
And that's brilliant.
They send their sons first, and then their sons go home and brag about it, and then they show up with their daughters.
Hey, I got to ask you this: Are the girls, especially the young girls, like daughters of your students, do they show more talent, or is it just my imagination?
Well, with the handgun,
the
wives and the daughters tend to outshoot the men with the handgun.
Wow!
And the men tend to outshoot the women with the rifles, with the M4s and the AR-15s. And part of the reason is the weight of the gun. The women are tired by the time we get to the rifles after a couple days of training with handguns. Their hands are sore from doing mag changes and stuff. And the women have better articulation, fine motor skills, so they have better trigger control with the handgun. But having said that, the guys that hold all the records for basic students in proficiency and accuracy are all men between the ages of 18 and 22.
Wow. Okay.
And so we get these talented guys that most of them work for their dad and their dad's business, and they're truck mechanics or they're engineers or they're farmers. They work with their hands all the time. When you get young guys in like that, oh my gosh, I can teach them to outperform a Navy SEAL in about 4 days.
And I'm telling you, I've had, and folks, I'm sure you know, friends, the former Navy SEALs and others of that caliber, and they say this. I mean, their feedback from your courses are exactly that. So you're not overstating.
No, I'm not exaggerating anything. As a matter of fact, we look for tier one asset guys as adjunct instructors to teach certain things. And I have guys drop by the facility and they're, you know, they're SEAL Team 6 or Team 10 or whatever. And they're like, hey, Sam, you should hire me as an instructor. And I'm like, hey, well, come down. Let's do an evaluation. And we go down to the range and I have them shoot an El Presidente. And they'll usually run it between 5.5 and 6.5 seconds. And they kind of puff their chest out like, see, I'm a badass SEAL, right? And I look at them and I say, boy, you got some work to do, don't you? They're like, what do you mean? And I'm like, hey, Tim, I got this instructor, Tim, right? This is the truth. This guy was a boxer, very competitive boxer, basketball player,
yep,
motorcycle racer, superb all-round athlete, right? Reflexes faster than just about anybody, redhead, super fast twitch muscle, okay? He runs a truck repair place in Winfield, Missouri called Stone Automotive. Okay, and he came to the Freedom Center 10 years ago, and I made an instructor out of him because he's so talented. And he's better than any of my Special Forces instructors. So I call him over and say, hey, Tim, would you run an El Presidente for this gentleman? Just kind of show him what level he has to be at to instruct here. And Tim will rip off a 3.5-second El Presidente with his handgun. And then I just walk away, right, and I let them talk. And I can hear them in my electronic ears when I walk away, Doug. It's hilarious. The guy's like, so what unit were you with? And the guy's like, oh, I wasn't in a unit. I run a automotive repair, truck repair place up in Winfield, Missouri. And the guy's like, oh, yeah, right. And he winks at him. But, I mean, literally, to teach at our facility, you have to be able to demonstrate. You have to be able to run an El Presidente in under 4 seconds with all your weapons. You don't get to teach at our facility. That's the standard.
For those people listening, what is an El Presidente?
This is a drill that we developed to train the President of the United States with. Okay, we wanted the President to be able to deal with three threats if the Secret Service weren't immediately there to help him. And so you train them. There's three human silhouette targets 10 yards away. And you have to put two shots in target A, two shots in target B, two shots in target C. They're three different targets. So you're moving and shooting. You're moving your weapon, changing targets. And you only get six rounds to a mag. And so at the end of six rounds, you're out of ammo. You then execute a mag change, or what we call a speed reload. And then you go the opposite direction. You put two shots in target C, two shots in target B, and two shots in target A. Now, the average civilian will come into a training class and they'll do it in 15 to 25 seconds, 12 right. shots and a mag change.
Right.
The 11 Bravos we get in, active army that we train, they'll do it in 10 to 12 seconds. The SWAT team guys will do it from 8.5 to about 10 seconds. And our tier two assets are between 7 and 8 seconds. The tier one asset guys like the SEALs and the British SAS and the CAG guys, they'll all run it in 5.5 to 6.5 seconds.
But your instructor doesn't. I'm trying
our
to comprehend.
Instructors do it in sub 4 seconds.
That's great.
People will probably write into your show and say, oh, I'm throwing the BS flag on that. Well, next time I'll just pump a video of one of our instructors running an El Presidente on a shot timer. I think I've got a video of his first sub 4 second run. I think it was 3.62. I'll just send you videos of our instructors doing it.
I'll just say this, and I hope someone does that, but put your money where your mouth is, because this is like a ballet. I mean, you're watching this fabulous ballet, and that might be
it's I call it playing a violin while absorbing recoil.
There.
Now, if I could just get Eric to post that meme I sent him with the B2.
Yes.
I think it would fit nicely to this discussion. Okay. And it applies to Iraq as well, right? Maybe he can pop that up if he can find it. There it is right there. Can you read that? Well, maybe I can pop that up and read it.
Let me see here. What is that? Everybody gangsta?
Yeah, everybody's gangster until there's pixels missing from the sky. You know, and see, that's, to me, that's what I call a relative reality adjustment.
Yeah.
Everybody's tough until somebody twice as tough comes along. Everybody's fast until they see somebody twice as fast as they are. And then it's just shock and awe. And so sometimes people need what I call a relative attitude adjustment. If you come into my facility all cocky because you've been in the military and you think you're fast, you better be fast. You better be world-class fast, or I'm going to have one of my instructors embarrass you. It's simply to provide you a just fundamental platform of humility so that you can learn that you can actually get better.
And it, that can save your life. And folks, don't, please, I don't want people to think this is idle talk, because what I see coming, especially with the possibilities or the
sleeper cells.
Yeah, all of this, you know, it's up to us to protect our families. Just watch, on social media, just some Ring doorbell or Nest footage.
Right. Well, let's talk about what the Trump administration is doing, because if I could wave my magic wand, I would have every God-loving American armed at all times.
Amen.
Okay. Our founding father said, keep and bear, not keep and conceal. Now, obviously, there's places where you can't carry an open firearm, depending on the state you live in. So concealment might be your only option, but for God's sake, be armed. And with the sleeper cells and the things that are going to happen in this country over the next 5 years, the men in this country should be ready at all times to defend themselves, their family, their friends, and their community. There's no excuse not to be ready. And it's not that hard. You get a decent weapon and a little bit of training, and you are 100 times harder to kill in a firefight. But what's the Trump administration doing? The big, beautiful bill has the Hearing Protection Act embedded, which means that if it passes this weekend and Trump signs it, you will no longer have to do paperwork, a Form 4 for a suppressor. You'll be able to walk in and buy it just like a rifle. Right. Fill out a 4473 and walk out the door with it. And short-barreled rifles come out of the NFA as well. Same thing there. Short-barreled shotguns come out of the NFA as well. And Trump is seriously trying to arm American civilians. That is not a coincidence that all of this stuff is going on internationally, and Trump is trying to give America every excuse that he can think of and make it easy to arm yourself. He's also working on the national reciprocal concealed carry. Okay. They're also working it through the DOJ. I don't know if you saw the decision out of the Seventh Circuit where the DOJ entered in.
Yes.
And declared magazines, suppressors, and all these things arms. Yeah. And of course, we have federal black letter law that says suppressors are arms. And so the Supreme Court's being set up for a ruling. They're going to have to rule that no state can ban AR-15s. No state can ban suppressors. See, a lot of the gun lobby people wanted to say, well, suppressors aren't arms. You can't ban them. And magazines aren't this, so you can't ban. That was the wrong strategy. The strategy that's going to work is that they're all accessories to arms. Therefore, you can't operate your arms properly without them. Therefore, they have full Second Amendment protection. And that way, the states cannot ban them, no more than they can ban your right to free speech. And that is a brilliant thing. I am praying this happens. There's a number of bad things in the big, beautiful bill that I'm sure you've talked about.
Oh, yeah.
One of them is this thing that says if you try to challenge the federal government, you have to put up a huge bond.
Which is totally unconstitutional, but okay.
Yeah, it'll get ruled unconstitutional eventually, but it's still a bad deal. We want to deal with the federal judge issue with the budget and the Congress doing their job. We don't want to do it with some law that says you have to put up $1 billion to sue the federal government. That means that the merits of your case don't matter. How deep your pocketbook is the only thing that matters. Yes. And that's not justice.
No, it's
corruption.
Justice denied, and corruption. You're right, 100% right.
So, but there are a lot of good things going on. I hope it gets passed because we need to fund ICE and we need to get these threats out of here. We've got to deal with these gotaways.
We only have about 6 minutes left. But what's your take? Why is there such pressure to keep these criminals here, but especially by the black-robed tyrants? But it's, to me, it's more than that.
Destabilize America. They want to destroy America. They want population reduction. They want iron fist rule and no freedom.
Right.
And they talk Constitution. They talk. So we got a couple minutes left. Let's talk about the War Powers Act of 1973. Completely unconstitutional. Now, you might have to have me on another time to get into the details of this.
Anytime.
But I promise you, Doug, the Constitution does not allow you to change Article II powers with a law passed by Congress. You have to have an amendment to the Constitution. There is a legal process to amend the Constitution. The War Powers Act is unconstitutional almost everywhere and on its face.
Right.
But every president since Eisenhower has committed. And the short story is this. They argued this in the debates before the Constitution and the Bill of Rights was signed. They deliberately changed the wording from make war, declared by Congress, to declare war, because they wanted to make sure that the executive branch controlled our military and could react instantly to threats and imminent threats. So they changed it to declare war. In other words, they gave Congress to state the legal status of our relationship to other states.
Well, somebody better call Al Green, because articles of impeachment are being formed right now. Again, in the face of, 26,000 bombs dropped by Barack, Barry Satoro. Yet, here we go. Here we
Barry
go
with the bomber, right? Yeah. Yeah. And see, the hypocrisy knows no end. But, you know, we have to modify Article 2, we need a constitutional amendment. We don't need a law passed by Congress called the 1973 War Powers Act.
Indeed.
So Republicans and Democrats alike are lying through their teeth about the War Powers Act, proving that Donald Trump is doing something illegal. So don't buy that garbage.
Where did that originate, the War Powers Act?
They wanted to shut Nixon down. They wanted to shut him down in Vietnam.
All right.
Okay. And the sad truth is that the president has the power to do a lot for 30 to 60 days, depending on what he's doing. But the Congress has the power right now, without the War Powers Act, to prevent us from being in a prolonged war.
Yes.
And it's called the power of the purse.
Yeah.
And the problem is they don't want to use it because they don't want people to know where they stand. The cowards in Congress.
And I do believe, I'm 100% with you on that, but I also believe the incestuous, there's got to be something to hold to account or stop the profiting of war by members of both.
What Eisenhower warned us of, the military-industrial complex, driving policy.
Yeah.
And so I want to talk about the people that said Trump was going to get us in this forever war with Iran. Real quickly.
Go ahead.
Let's contrast what Trump did in 37 hours total.
Yeah.
Actually, we weren't over Iran for 4 hours. So it was like the 4-hour American-Iran war. Okay. And whatever the fuel costs, whatever the time on the engines of the aircraft and the refueling jets and the electronic warfare jammers and the F-22s, total all that cost up and the cost of the bombs and the cost of the Tomahawks. And the whole, like, 4 hours that we were actually in Iraq, and compare that to Cheney and Powell and Bush that got us in war that went trillions of dollars, cost over 6,000 lives, put over 20,000 men in hospitals without legs. I mean, just go right down the list. Don't even compare what Trump did to a forever war, because we're not in a forever war. He went in, he yes. got out, it's over. Iran's claiming they want to play ball. We'll see.
And one last thing. It brought to mind how many soldiers came back maimed, you know, without legs, IEDs. Kind of sort of a signature of Iran in the
Iranian
process.
Shia manufactured IEDs yes. that were used in Iraq and Afghanistan.
And the point, and then folks have to understand this, the point wasn't to kill the or